Over the last several weeks, we have been giving consideration to what it means to live in times of darkness. In the story of Elijah, in the time of ancient Israel, has been helping us to understand a little bit more about how we live in the time that we live today, or how we are called to live in the time that we have today. There are lessons and there are warnings that come from ancient history to the people of God today. And as we prepare now to look at our final message in the series, Living in Times of Darkness, I invite you to bow your heads and pray with me, for me and for yourselves, that God would speak to us today. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is our privilege, as we live in times of end time darkness, to look into your word for deeper understanding, for help, for counsel. And Lord, today we open the pages of Scripture once again. We give pause now to reflect upon the lessons of the past so that we can know how to live in the present and in the future. Help us to see, dear Lord, that you have a special purpose and calling for each of us. And may we rise, empowered by your grace and your Spirit, to meet the challenge ahead. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Romans, chapter 15, in verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. He said, "For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." And then later again in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, the same apostle wrote the words, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the age has come." We have been giving consideration to the story of Elijah and the lessons that we learn from his experience living in a time of darkness in ancient Israel. Over the long centuries that have passed since Elijah's day to this, the record of his life work, the record of his ministry and of his experiences have actually brought courage and inspiration to many Christians throughout the ages who have been called as well to stand for truth and to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of apostasy and in the midst of the darkness of their time. But for us living today, here near the end of the world, the record of the great prophet of God, Elijah, has a special significance for us. And that significance is given because of the prophecy of Scripture. The history that was seen in the time of Elijah is being repeated today. The circumstances of that day are being seen once again. Elijah faced a time when the people of God were well nigh turned completely to idolatry, when many of the leaders of God's people were corrupted by the influences of the world. Elijah lived in times so dark that the worship of the creature was more commonplace than the worship of the Creator. Rebellion against the law of God, the messengers of God, was the common attitude. Elijah lived in a time when the state was being controlled by the power of apostate religion, and when the power of the state was being used to enforce the command and will of said apostate religion. Today, history is being repeated. Today, the world has its Ahabs and its Jezebels. Thousands are following after the gods of this world, after riches and fame and pleasure and the pleasing fables that are being told that permit mankind to follow the inclinations of an unregenerate heart. Many today are led to turn away from the divine and to exalt the human. In the time in which we live, there is a spirit of opposition. A spirit of opposition against the plain word of God. Men and women have allowed their minds to become darkened and to become confused by conformity to the ways of the world. The opinions of philosophers and even some so-called religious gurus have been determined to be more trustworthy than the very truths of the Word of God itself. A faith such as actuated Paul and Peter and John is regarded today as old-fashioned, mystical, and unworthy of the intelligence of the modern thinker. It would seem that in many ways, the world that we live in today resembles the dark world of ancient Israel when Elijah was called to ministry. The prophet Malachi shared a message at the end of his book in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, that relates to our consideration of the great ministry of Elijah in time of Israel's darkness. Elijah, by the time Malachi came to speak his message, Elijah was long since dead. However, he mentions the great prophet of old in some of his final counsel. And we read it together now, if you have your Bibles, in Malachi chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." We could stop reading there, and perhaps the point would be served that the prophet was predicting a return of Elijah at the end of time. But the message goes on, because what might be considered to have been the main emphasis of Elijah, that being the destruction of apostasy, the removal of false kings, the destruction and the killing of false prophets of Baal, the tearing down of idols and the removal of altars and groves of idolatry, and this courageous man who stood up and confronted with opposition the forces of darkness, was actually not the full reason of Elijah's ministry. We look at this and we see these as being the highlights of a man's ministry in a time of great spiritual darkness. But in fact, Elijah had another ministry that these things actually became only a part of. And the prophet Malachi predicts a return of Elijah and a return of his ministry. Verse 6 says what that ministry is. "Elijah will come before the great terrible day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and of the heart of the children to the fathers." You know what this could be summarized as? It's a ministry of reconciliation. And that's what Elijah was called to do. The tearing down of the altars and shrines of Baal, the removal of the priests and prophets of Baal, standing against an apostate king in a time of darkness, was all for a purpose. It was not an end in and of itself. Elijah's ministry was a ministry of reconciliation, of a lost and apostate people with a loving and merciful God. By the time of Malachi, as we've mentioned, Elijah was long since dead. But he tells us that Elijah was going to return before the coming of Christ, and specifically, according to the context of the text, before the second coming of Jesus. And did you see that reconciliation? Don't miss that, because that's key. But even though we look for the return of Elijah before the return of Christ, Elijah actually had an appearing of sorts before the first coming of Christ. Take your Bibles a few books over from where you are to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 17. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 17. We'll read together the words of the angel Gabriel speaking to the priest Zacharias. Luke chapter 1, verse 17, when Gabriel is speaking to the temple priest Zacharias and announcing the prediction of the birth of his son, who would be John the Baptist, he says these words regarding John's future ministry. He says there in verse 17, he will also go before him, that is the Messiah, in the spirit and power of who? Of who? Of Elijah. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Here was a prediction of a powerful ministry, a ministry of preparation of people for the appearing of the Messiah. John, it was said, would minister in the spirit and power of who? Of Elijah. And at that time, the world needed such a man. John the Baptist was a man for his time. The people of God, once again, were living in a time of darkness, and they had been greatly influenced by the traditions and the untruths of men. John was a prophet of the Lord, seeking to turn the hearts of the people of God back to him in repentance so that they would be ready to meet the Messiah when he appeared. John was seeking the reconciliation of people with God. Recently, in the daily devotional book that perhaps some of you have or some of you have read, a book called Homeward Bound, I read this statement referring to John the Baptist. Simple statement, listen to this. Page 227. In preparing the way for Christ's first advent, he, that is John, was a representative of those who are to prepare a people for our Lord's second coming. The work of preparing a people to meet Jesus for the first time is not all that different from the work of preparing a people to meet Jesus the second time. John served as a representative of those living here at the last days, to whom this people, the referring to those who live at the last days, to whom God has entrusted a special and sacred truth to be presented and proclaimed to the entirety of the world, preparing a way for Jesus to come again. John represented those who go forward in the same spirit, in the same power of Elijah, to proclaim the day of the Lord and call those walking contrary to God back to him in repentance, in reconciliation, so that they will be prepared in this day for the second appearing of Jesus Christ. The call and the prophecy of the Scripture is that there will once again be a special Elijah-like ministry repeated at the end of time. The prevailing spirit of our time is a lot like it was in the days of Elijah. It is a lot like it was in the days of John the Baptist. The prevailing spirit of our time is one of infidelity, one of unfaithfulness. In the beginning, God gave his holy and righteous law to humanity for our happiness, for our protection, for our peace. And after sin came into our midst, God's law served as a signpost to all who are journeying through this journey of life. One arm of the signpost pointed out a way that showed that obedience leads to life, and the other arm of the signpost indicated that disobedience is the pathway to misery and death. For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the signpost has pointed faithfully the way to one of two destinies. And when Jesus walked on the earth, in unmistakable language, he testified of his regard for the law of Jehovah. Take your Bibles back to Gospels, to Matthew chapter 5. Let's go there quickly to Matthew, the 5th chapter. We're looking at the words of Jesus found in verse 17 and 18. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17 and 18, listen here to the words of our Savior as he gave the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, reading verse 17, he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle in no wise will pass from the law until all be fulfilled." Satan has constantly attacked the law of God throughout history. Satan has tried to change the directions of the signposts so that people will be confused, so that they won't know exactly what God is asking them to do. But in the time in which we live, after Satan has been doing that for hundreds and now thousands of years, he has made it a special object of his work to attack the law of God in new ways. That which God has given to be a sign between him and his people forever, that which he has desired, according to the prophet Isaiah, to seal among us, that which the Lord has said he would write on our hearts and on our minds as a part of the new covenant promise, Satan has tried to attack by his tactics and his deceptions. Satan has moved things. He has worked things, he has confused things in such a way that now the observance and fidelity to the law of God, especially the Sabbath command, which identifies God as our Creator, this is seen as disloyalty to the authorities of the earth. Prophecy tells us that this is going to continue. That human laws are going to be made so stringent in the days ahead that many people who have an inclination to serve the Lord will not observe the law of God for fear of reprimand by people. Satan has led men and women to disregard that which God has said is sacred and holy. People neglect the Bible. People hate truth. Many sneer at the Word of God. There's a growing contempt in our world for law and order. And all of this is directly traceable to the violation of God's law that has been permitted for so long. So long have men and women worshipped the opinions and institutions of humanity that now today, though in other forms than it was in Elijah's time, almost the entire world is caught up in idolatry. Worshipping something else before the Creator himself. But God has a plan in place. God is not going to always allow his law to be broken and despised with impunity. And the good news that I'd like to share with you today is that you and I are a part of that plan. Not that God can't do it without us, but in his mercy and grace, he tells us that he wants to do it with us. There is coming a time that the prophet Isaiah speaks of in Isaiah 2:11 when he says, "The lofty looks of man will be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." It sounds to me an awful lot like a Mount Carmel experience. In the closing days of Earth's history just ahead of us, and in these days when God's work is now attempting and making attempt to go forward throughout the earth, the law of God is once again going to be exalted among the people. Just as there was on Mount Carmel a showdown between the force of good and the force of evil, between the worship of God and the worship of man, so there will come a time such as this here in these last days. In the book Prophets and Kings, reflecting in commentary on the time of Elijah and speaking about application for the time in which we live, these words are recorded on page 187. False religion may prevail. Iniquity may abound. The love of many may wax cold. The cross of Calvary may be lost sight of, and darkness, like the pall of death, may spread over the world. The whole force of the popular current may be turned against the truth, and plots may be formed to overthrow the people of God. But in the hour of greatest peril, the God of Elijah will raise up his faithful to bear a message that will not be silenced. Once again, a strong and godly voice will be heard, and boldly will men and women of God's appointment denounce the union of the church with the world. From their lips, this godly, bold, faithful of God will ring clearly the message for these times. Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. And as you contemplate the words of the first angel's message from Revelation 14, verse 7, I ask you to consider, how different is that call than the call that Elijah made to Israel so many years ago? A call to fear God, a call to give Him glory, a call to recognize that judgment was upon the land, a call to worship God as the creator of heaven and earth. Today, God is looking for men and women with spiritual and moral clarity to stand up and to speak for Him as Elijah once did. John came in preparation for Christ's first coming, and the faithful remnant of God will have been raised up today to be as John, to be as Elijah, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to prepare the world for the second appearing of Christ. Today, as in the days of Elijah, the line of separation between God's commandment-keeping people and the worshipers of false gods is being clearly drawn by the choices that we are all making. Elijah had called to the people, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow Him, but if Baal, then follow him." And today, the message of Revelation, the message of God's remnant, the message of God's last day faithful people is very similar. Revelation 18 records it. It says, "Babylon the great is fallen. Come out of her, my people, that you do not be partakers of her sins and that you will receive not of her plagues." There's a call going forward today. Brothers and sisters, the time when such a test will come to every soul is not far away. Today we understand, today we look forward, today we know that that time is just ahead of us. But are we prepared for that day? Are we ready to be whom God has called us to be as a people, a remnant, a faithful in the spirit and power of Elijah to let the world know who God is? The contest is going to be between the commandments of God, the traditions of men. The testing time will be of such a nature that the gold will be separated from the dross. True godliness is going to be seen and distinguishable from the appearance of godliness alone. And my friends, to Jesus alone we should be looking. To Jesus alone we should be looking. In the merit and in the grace of Christ alone, there is true help for a sin-sick soul. And I hope you're saying amen in your heart, because there is no remedy for sin apart from Jesus Christ. In Jesus alone, there is a character worthy of emulation. In Jesus alone, there is an example worthy of following in every way. Because of Jesus and His cross, when many people around us are losing their way, God will enable us to resist the ungodly influence and remain faithful to Him. In days of adversity, we can trust Him. Because of Jesus and His cross, when times of crisis come, God will support us as we take an unambiguous stand for the right, regardless of the consequences. Because of Jesus and His cross, when the world is mocking God's people here at the end of time, the Lord will uphold us in our chosen fidelity to Him. Because of Jesus and His cross, even when we face our own personal darkness, when we face our own doubts, we will not be abandoned or forsaken, but rather we will be called again by His still, small voice to continue walking with Christ. And because of Jesus and His cross, when the world around us today is failing and falling in every way, God will unite us in ministry, in the spirit, and in the power of Elijah to call men and women to truth, to righteousness, to Christ Jesus alone for salvation. This is the call of God. Elijah was met in the time of his darkness there under the juniper tree, there in the cave, and God said, I've got others who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Get up, because there's still work to be done. Go forward in the spirit and in the power that I will give you. And today at the end of time, the Bible's prophecy is the same, that there is going to be a call for God's people who have been preserved and protected and helped and supported, a call to God's people who have experienced darkness but have seen the light in Christ Jesus, a call for God's people who are ready and willing to stand unambiguously against the oppositions of this world and to represent Jesus Christ. The call for us today is to go forward to share with men and women lost and hurting people that there is a God in Israel who saves. A God who can reach down from heaven and can reconcile lost sinners to Himself by the blood of Jesus Christ. Today, God has 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. The world over, there are men and women among the inhabitants of our world scattered across the globe in every place, faithful ones like the stars of heaven. When the time of testing shall come, they will appear and they will shine amidst the darkness ahead of us. In all the dark corners of this earth, God has reserved a host of chosen ones who will shine amid the darkness of sin and shine in the darkness of apostasy, revealing the transforming power of God's word and the transforming power of obedience to Jehovah. I want to be one of those 7,000. Who have not bowed the knee to Baal. I want to be counted among the faithful who, when Jesus calls for a witness in this world, the faithful will stand up and go forward and proclaim that there is no God like Jehovah. I want to be faithful and true. I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that I can go forward in the spirit and power of Elijah to testify to a lost world of the beauty and the magnificence of Christ. I'll tell you one thing that we do know. We know that soon every man and woman and child of earth will be judged in righteous judgment. That we do know. What we do know as well, according to the pledge of Scripture, is that the hour of God's judgment has come. We're living in it right now. And my friends, another thing that we do know from the word of the Lord is that it is upon the members of the church of God on earth, us here today, that rests the solemn responsibility of giving the message of warning and the message of salvation to those who are standing on the very brink of eternal ruin. That we know. In these final hours of Earth's history, when the fate of every soul is soon to be decided forever, the Lord of heaven and earth expects His church to arouse to action such as never before. Those who have been made free in Christ and are regarded by the Lord as His chosen ones are being counted on today to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. The good news of salvation is to go to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. The declaration of Scripture is that there is going to be a special Elijah-like ministry here repeated at the end of time. And now God is looking for men and women with the moral and spiritual clarity to stand out, to stand up, to speak out, and to speak up for Him, seeking the reconciliation of God's children with their Heavenly Father, as Elijah once did. Today, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, our work is not to seek to number Israel. Did you hear me? It's a temptation for us to seek to pick and choose among the family who really is on God's side. You and I today are not called to number Israel. You and I today are not called to separate wheat from tares in the field of this church. But rather, what we are called to do is to give God an opportunity to give us a heart of flesh, a heart of tender, compassionate sympathy, a heart like that of Jesus Christ, a heart that reaches out from where we are today for the salvation of a lost world, and to do so in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. May God help us to be as Elijah to the world today. Let us pray. O great light of the world, today we invite you to shine through us. Dear God, we ask that you would minister through your people. Grant us your Holy Spirit so that we can go forward in the spirit and power of Elijah, as was predicted, to bring reconciliation by the grace of Christ to a world needing it today. And may by our example, which truly has come as we have looked to the example of Christ, may men and women, boys and girls, come to know that there is no God like Jehovah. And they would want
to give their lives in surrender and repentance to you. Do with us, dear Lord, as you will. Make us a blessing for your cause. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.